Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we will be presenting our seventh part in a 14-part series that we have titled Satan's Counterfeits. It is based upon my document titled Identifying Satan's Counterfeits, including his sinister ministers and their false doctrine. Our theme verses for this series have been Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Those verses state the following. Verse 7 of Matthew 15, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, we have the following. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." Now, what we've been, this is our second lesson on counterfeit churches. Now, the definition for a New Testament church is an assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the Lord's work. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say about the church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, in our last lesson that we gave, we went in and read all of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 and then made some brief comments about those chapters. And what I would encourage you to do is to go back and reread those chapters and then come back and listen to this particular lesson here. And what I'm going to do in this lesson here is I'm going to fill in some of the details on each of the seven churches. Now, Ephesus is the church that left its first love. It was once on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, but the fire had died down with the passage of time. It was the church that was as any new bride and new groom. They were zealous for one another with a fervent love at first until they began to take one another for granted. That church had forgotten the heights to which the Lord Jesus Christ had taken them. They had fallen away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He warned them to repent and rekindle the fire that they once had for him. At the closing of the letter to the church in Ephesus, the overcomers in the church are promised that they will eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, the church at Smyrna is the martyr's church. Smyrna is a name that means myrrh, and myrrh is a symbol of death. Smyrna has lived up to its name. There have been many thousands of Christians martyred there. The destruction of Smyrna by the Ottoman Turks resulted in the deaths of over 100,000 Christians and Jews. The peace-loving Ottoman Turkish Muslims also murdered over 1.2 million Christians in the Armenian massacres. The barbaric Turkish Muslims will play a huge role in the persecutions and beheadings that take place during the Great Tribulation. Note the presence at Smyrna of persecutors that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Satan is the great persecutor of Jews and Christians. The Jews at Smyrna were of the physical seed of Israel, but were not of the spiritual seed of Israel. What we see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and in Revelation 3, verse 9, is the Lord Jesus Christ applying the teaching and preaching of John chapter 8, verses 31 through 44, to the Jews that were persecuting the Christians at Smyrna. Not all that say they are Jews in the eyes of God. The Holy Ghost states that same principle through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, and also in Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. And we're going to go read those verses. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Then we have in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. That's Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. The problem of false professors is not unique to the Jews' religion. Not all that say they are Christians are Bible-believing Christians either. It is unbelieving Christians in church history, including today, that have been or are becoming some of the greatest persecutors of Jews and Christians in world history. So there are phony Christians and there are phony Jews. However, thank God there are Israelite Jews and pagan Gentiles that become Christians. When they become Christians, they become the Israel of God. God has torn down the middle wall of partition between the unsaved Jew and the unsaved Gentile through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of his cross. Now, let's go to it and look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. If you are a Christian that has been taught the heresy that the church has replaced Israel, then you need to read and study very carefully Romans chapters 9 through 11, paying particular attention to Romans chapter 11. The clear teaching of what we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, is that the Lord Jesus Christ has tore down the middle wall of partition between the Gentile and the Jew. So I would encourage you to go and do a detailed study of Romans chapters 9 through 11. Romans chapter 11 is both a promise to the Jew and a warning to the Gentile that would cut off the Jew. Paul asked a rhetorical question, "Hath God cast away his people?" And then immediately responded, "God forbid, God has not cast away his people." Replacement theology is one of the greatest heresies in the history of the church and has been the cause of the death of millions of Jews. What a satanic paradox that Satan has used professing Christians to murder and persecute Jews down through the history of the church. What is worst of all is that Satan used Christians to promote the Jewish Holocaust of the World War II era. Replacement theology is under the curse of God. Now, back to the book of Revelation. At the close of the letter to the church in Smyrna, the overcomers in the churches are promised that they shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, that term second death is used four times in the book of Revelation, and that second death is when death itself and hell are taken up and cast into the lake of fire. Next, we'll talk about the church at Pergamos. The church at Pergamos was the compromised church that was located in the city that the Lord Jesus Christ identified as Satan's seat. Pergamos was the city that Satan moved his Babylonian religion and Babylonian mysteries to after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. Pergamos was a huge center of idolatry that had as its chief gods and goddesses Zeus, Athena, Dionysos, and Aesculapius. Some of the church leaders at Pergamos were teaching the doctrine of Balaam that led Israel into idolatry in Numbers chapters 22 through 24. The men in the church at Pergamos were practicing an unscriptural form of church government that established a clergy class to rule over a laity class. It is called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The Lord Jesus Christ told both the church at Ephesus and the church at Pergamos that he hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitan literally means above the laity. The hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ for the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is an application of the admonishment of the Holy Ghost given to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, which read as follows. Verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." Passage of scripture that was written to those who would be pastors. You got to be very careful how you exercise the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to you as a pastor. Now, at the close of the letter to the church at Pergamos, the overcomers in the churches are promised that they will be given to eat of the hidden manna and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. Now, that white stone is symbolic both of innocence and of victory. And back during the time of John, there were when trials were held, if the individual was found innocent, they were given a white stone, and if they were found guilty, they were given a black stone. So that kind of gives you some kind of background of what that symbol of the white stone means. Next, we deal with the church at Thyatira. The church at Thyatira was the church that had a woman exercising unscriptural authority and leading that church into idolatry. It is obvious from the context that she was teaching men and women heresy. That is a direct affront to the Holy Ghost, who said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." That woman in that particular passage of Scripture was named Jezebel. She falsely called herself a prophetess. She is a perfect type of the Old Testament Jezebel, whose story is told in 1 Kings chapters 18 through 21. Jezebel had 400 prophets that she exercised direct authority over, who ate at her table. In that process, she also effectively usurped the throne of Israel that was supposed to be controlled by King Ahab, the king of no backbone, noodleback Ahab. The result of Ahab's weakness and compromise was total idolatry in Israel. Ahab would have withered under Paul's command, which states, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." When Ahab allowed the throne to be usurped, the rightful authority was not sitting upon it. The result is the same in modern-day churches that are worshiping a god of their own choosing. They all end up in idolatry. The rightful authority in a scriptural New Testament church is a man. Every qualification for the offices of bishops, pastors, deacons, and elders is given to men only. A woman cannot be the husband of one wife. Now, at the close of the letter to the church in Thyatira, the overcomers in the churches are promised that they will be given power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Next, we'll look at the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis claimed to be a lively church, but was spiritually dead. The Lord Jesus Christ warned them that the few believers that remained there were ready to die. And folks, that is the state of most of our churches in America today. Those that are not already dead are ready to die. They may be carnally alive. The churches like the church at Sardis, they may be carnally alive, but they are spiritually dead. If you want loud music, sexually revealing dress by men and women, sexual perversion before children, transgender promotion, abortion promotion, weak or no preaching, smoke and mirrors, teenagers and young adults slithering around in mosh pits, and flashing strobe lights, welcome to the average seeker-friendly church that stands for nothing truly Christian and falls for everything satanic. They have gone past having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof to promoting a completely satanic religion. In America, we have an unrighteous and unholy alliance between a coalition of Sardisian and Laodicean churches. The Sardisian church, in a vain attempt to revive itself, has on occasion allied itself with Chrislam, which is supposed to be a synthesis of Christianity and Islam. All stop. The next stop is Revelation 17, where they bed down with the mother of harlots. What about the Antichrist? There is death in the pot for the dying church. They have lost the power of God. The Holy Ghost is not within a light year of them. Now, at the close of the letter to the church in Sardis, the overcomers in the church are promised that they shall be clothed in white raiment and that he will not blot his name out of the book of life. Next, we look at the church at Philadelphia. The church at Philadelphia is but one of two churches that the Lord Jesus Christ had nothing bad to say about. The other church that the Lord Jesus Christ had nothing bad to say about was the church of Smyrna. They both had something else in common. They both were severely persecuted by Jews who claimed falsely to be Jews who were of the synagogue of Satan. The church at Philadelphia has kept God's word and has not compromised doctrine. They have not denied the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so many in the rotting corpse of compromised Christianity that deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is that name that is above every name. These heretics do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These heretics do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. They deny the Father and the Son, which marks them as Antichrist to the core. And you want to go and look at a description of the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit. You can look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and 2 John verse 7. Now here's what 1 Timothy 3:16 has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ being God. Verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Note that in 1 Timothy 3:16, that it says that God was manifest. Note that that is in the continuous present tense. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is still in that flesh, and he is at the right hand of the Father as the God-man. Now, the church of Philadelphia is the church that is creating division in the body of the Christ, and that's to use a heretic's phrase, based upon them teaching false doctrine. Folks, we are to separate from apostates and heretics that teach and preach false doctrine. The church at Philadelphia is a light in the darkness is what it is, and we do have some Philadelphia-style churches that are around that are still standing up for the Word of God and preaching and teaching it without compromise. And that, and folks, it is a commandment from God that we contend against false doctrine and heresy and apostasy. We are not to go along to get along. If we do, we become partakers in their evil deeds. We are to call false doctrine and false teachers out and separate from them. The church at Philadelphia is the church that has the men to stand in the gap against the false prophets and teachers of the apostate and heretical mother of harlots church. And folks, our country is consumed with churches that are not Christian churches. The church at Philadelphia has an open door set before her because she has not compromised the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ seeks such churches and men to glorify him, just as God sought men in the Old Testament to glorify him by not compromising his word. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 31, gives the price of compromise, and it states the following, folks. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening to prey, they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them, that I should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. That's Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 31. Now, at the close to the letter to the church in Philadelphia, the overcomers in the churches are promised that they will be made a pillar in the temple of my God. Finally, we come to the church of the Laodiceans, the totally compromised church that is neither hot nor cold. Notice that prior to the letter to the church of Laodiceans, that each letter was addressed to a church in a particular city, but it is not so for the church of the Laodiceans. The Laodiceans own the church in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Laodicea is so lukewarm and wishy-washy that the Lord Jesus Christ promises that he will spew them out of his mouth. What a condemnation. She is much increased with worldly goods and wealth, but is totally spiritually bankrupt. She is a miserable wretch that is blinded to the shame of her nakedness and spiritual poverty. Her garments are filthy with the works and goods of this world that are worthless before God. She is so spiritually blind that she has lost all discernment. She does not have a clue how spiritually bankrupt she is before God. She has become so hardened to her sin that she can no longer blush. They cannot hearken to the voice of the Lord because they have rejected his word for the thoughts of unbelieving Bible scholars and Bible-correcting preachers and teachers. Now, the Old Testament parallel to this group of people in this church at Laodicea is given in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. Let's turn there and read that. Starting in verse 10, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Even in the midst of all the apostasy and heresy of the church of Laodicea, that our we see our loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, stands at the door knocking and pleading for them to let him in. If they will but open the door and receive him, he will open their blinded eyes that the light of the glorious gospel would come flooding in. And I say hallelujah to that. In the passage of scripture that we just read in Jeremiah chapter 6, if you look at what brought about the downfall of the people of Israel, it was based in a rejection of the word of God. And that is the price that you pay, was the judgment that God brought upon the nation of Israel. The same thing is going to happen to this church at Laodicea. Now, at the close to the letter to the church of Laodicea, the churches are promised, him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The Lord Jesus Christ said nothing negative to the churches at Smyrna and Philadelphia. Smyrna was the martyr's church. Smyrna is the church that exists in 2026 in lands that have outlawed Christianity. That would include every Muslim-majority country in the world. For instance, you will not find a Christian church of any denomination in Saudi Arabia. Anyone who would attempt to start one would have their head removed. The church at Philadelphia was a church that was persecuted by a group falsely claiming to be Jews. The church at Philadelphia was the church that refused to compromise or deny the word of God. Thank God we still have some Philadelphia-type churches in America. The church at Ephesus was the simmering church that was once on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, but had left its first love. For many decades, the apostate church in America and its heretical ministers have promoted a satanic self-esteem gospel that adds unsaved reprobates to the church pews that profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. One television preacher said that losing one's self-esteem was his definition of hell. He is deceived and deluded, folks. A lack of self-esteem is not the problem. Too much self-esteem is identified as a problem by the Holy Ghost in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, when he stated that the apostate compromisers there were lovers of their own selves. The churches at Pergamos and Thyatira promoted false teachers and preachers. Pergamos promoted male false teachers and preachers, while Thyatira promoted female false prophetesses and teachers. Take note also of the presence of Satan at Pergamos and Thyatira. Pergamos was described as the place where Satan's seat is. After the fall of Babylon, many of the Babylonian pagan priests brought the Babylonian mysteries with them to Pergamos. Thus, it is rightfully called Satan's seat, a manifestation of mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Note the use of the term Nicolaitans in reference to the churches at Ephesus and Pergamos. The Nicolaitans were a group of men who exercised unscriptural authority over the church. The term Nicolaitans literally means above the laity. The concept of separate classes of clergy and laity is contrary to scriptural New Testament doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he hated it. In the church at Thyatira, we have a woman exercising unscriptural teaching authority over the church. The Holy Ghost said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Ahab's wife Jezebel in the old is an Old Testament type of the New Testament Jezebel. Jezebel had 400 false prophets that aided her table. Jezebel was a persecutor of the true prophets of the Lord. 12 times the doctrine of repentance is mentioned in the book of Revelation. 5 of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation are commanded to repent. Oh, how the Sardisian and Laodicean church hates the doctrine of repentance and its child holiness. Those who will not repent come under the judgment and condemnation of God in the book of Revelation. It is said 3 times in Revelation that the world and the church refused the call to repent. That refusal brought the judgment of the tribulation. Now, the church at Ephesus was told to repent of having fallen away from their first love. They had lost their fervent love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Pergamos was commanded to repent of teaching and practicing the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. The church at Thyatira was commanded to repent of allowing Jezebel to teach and to promote false doctrines that led into idolatry and sexual perversion. What we see in Jezebel is a promotion of sexual promiscuity and perversion, as well as spiritual perversion, all associated with false religion, folks. The church at Sardis was told to repent of the false idea that it was alive when it was actually dead. The church at Sardis was also guilty of not watching for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Laodicea was commanded to repent of being focused on the world, its goods, and its riches. Wealth has blinded the church at Laodicea, and it has locked the Lord Jesus Christ out of its congregation because it falsely feels that it has need of nothing, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of the letters to the 7 churches opens with the Lord Jesus Christ stating that I know thy works. Some of those works were good and some of those works were bad in these churches. There is nothing that can be hidden from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, each of the 7 letters to the churches closes with a promise to the overcomer that is addressed to all 7 churches. The final words of the Lord Jesus Christ to each of the 7 churches was, listen and heed. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Most of today's churches have uncircumcised ears so that they cannot hear or hearken to the word of God. We saw that in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, and by the way, we also saw the consequences of it. Now, the final 4 usages of the word repented in Revelation apply to the world in general, and they tell a tragic story. They repented not. Because they repented not, they suffered the judgment and wrath of the great tribulation. Just prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth in Revelation 19, we see the apostate and heretical tribulation church wallowing in its wickedness and hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a totally corrupt religious system that denies every Bible doctrine. The Bible describes it as Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. I'm going to close out there for this particular session, and we'll come back and finish up in our next session on dealing with counterfeit churches. Thank you for joining us today.